Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to an all-new season of The World as We Know It, bringing news that matters to you. I'm your host, Ariel Zalezi. Tonight, my guest is Richard McMillan. He has 27 years as an educator in the fields of political, U.S., and Latin American history, 23 of which have been here at good old Pierce College. He received the Gold Apple Award of 2018, voted in by the students. And McMillan has recently gone viral on PragerU.com under the most important date in U.S. history with over 1.5 million views. Thank you for coming on this show, McMillan.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Now, I wanted to start the season off by talking about a hot topic that has been a wildfire conversation throughout the entire summer, with new developments happening every time you turn the corner. For those unaware, there has been a rampant investigation against Trump and his involvement with the meddling of the 2016 elections, with special counsel for the U.S. United States Department of Justice, Robert Mueller, at the head of the witch hunt. I would like to know your thoughts on this investigation and how they compare to other investigations that have occurred against U.S. presidents in our nation's political timeline, like, for instance, Nixon and Watergate, considering that Trump is now insulting and attacking Carl Bernstein, the reporter that actually cracked Watergate open.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big question. I think it's okay. Next question. No. Seriously, there's a Chinese curse. And that curse is, may you live in interesting times. I think this is really interesting. So,
to say the least.
We've all been cursed. There have been repeated investigations on presidents going as far back as we've had presidents. There was scandals have been rampant in numerous administrations, to say the least. With the current one with Trump, we've really come to a rough place. There's a great line that President Kennedy once said: "Where there's smoke, there's smoke." And so far, in the Trump investigations, we've got a lot of smoke. But there hasn't been what they refer to, the shooting gun, the smoking gun, something that can really directly connect President Trump to any direct wrongdoing. Now, is it possible that Russia? I keep forgetting they're trying to be Soviet Union, but. Even though they deny it, is there any connection that shows that somehow they interfered with the election process? And it seems that that's the way that most states run their elections, the way it's voted in. It would really be a handful to be able to alter and affect all 50 states, since each one does it slightly differently. Now, is it possible that they affected the voter outcome? Anything's possible. But you would really need to come up with something very solid to prove it. And so far, after nearly 2 years of an investigation, it's still smoke. Watergate, for instance, though, it didn't take that long. It was a period of time, but they had people physically that they had caught. And the thing with Watergate is that the reason why it went the way it did, and so it seems like it so easily could have been stopped by Nixon, was that the men who had broken into, for those of you who aren't familiar, men were hired by people who worked under President Nixon to break into the Democratic the Democratic National Committee office, to basically get their playbook to see what they were going to do. And their office happened to have been an office in the Watergate Hotel. They got caught. So why didn't Nixon just cut them loose and say, it wasn't me? The reason is because Nixon was involved in an earlier investigation with Daniel Ellsberg, who had released secret information that was published called the Pentagon Papers. Nixon was involved in that. And so they broke into Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office to to try to get information on Ellsberg to use against him. Well, the men who broke into the Watergate were the same men who broke into Ellsberg's office. So if you let those guys hang for Watergate, they're going to nail you for Ellsberg's office. They're going to turn on you. And that's how it wasn't. Nixon could have easily denied, but he couldn't, because they had basically they had the goods on him. So there was something that physically held up. And in Woodward situation, he had an inside contact within the government who was able to give him inside information that nobody had. And when he did it originally, nobody really believed Woodward. They said, no, this wouldn't have happened, because you're talking about the very top echelon. The Attorney General of the United States was involved. That would never happen. Well, it did. And so by having that inside voice, he was able to pursue it and eventually bring down the presidency. To this point, like I said, we're seeing a lot of smoke, but smoke doesn't mean fire. And as a historian, I always love to see how these things play out. It is really fun. The terrible part is that we have to live through it. So.
Right. What do you think this investigation is going to mean for Trump's future endeavors?
In all honesty, most Americans vote their pocketbook. And that's how it works. A large reason why Obama was elected was because the last year and a half of President G.W. Bush, the economy slipped. And so that bolstered up the Democratic Party. In this case, it was Obama. So he was a beneficiary of a bad economy. Right now, despite what others say, the economy's getting better. Now, I won't quote numbers like Trump is. I don't agree with those numbers, but it's undeniable that the economy is getting better. The stock market is stronger. There's more trade going on. So it's going to be, I think, in the short end, it's not going to have the effect that a lot of people are thinking right now.
So clearly Democrats want to change in more than half of the seats in the House and the mm-hmm. Senate. Do you think that this investigation will be enough to uproot a shift?
You never can tell. That's one of the reasons why I love politics, is that you never can tell how things are going to shift. And all it would take is for just one shoe to be dropped. And all of a sudden, the USS Trump is going to be run into the iceberg and sink. But like I said, I don't think the Democratic Party is really in that strong of a situation to take over right now. One of the things that Democrats have done is, in my opinion, there's been a shift. They always looked at the Republican Party as the rich man's party. Well, that shift is happening, and now it's the Democrats who are actually more of the rich man party. They're getting their money from multi-millionaires, and those people aren't giving their money because they want health care. They're giving their money because they know there'll be something in exchange. When they have dinners at George Clooney's house where it's, you know, two plates for $30,000, is that the Democratic Party that I'm familiar with? No. The outcome that came out with Donna Brazile's book, where it was pretty much planned ahead of time that Hillary Clinton would be the nominee because of the system they call superdelegates. Well, the superdelegates are controlled by the Democratic Party. So when the voting was all done, it didn't matter how many votes Bernie Sanders had with the superdelegates that were planned to go to Hillary Clinton. Well, that was enough to give her the nomination. So the whole process of the primaries was basically just, you know, a joke. It was just playing along. And the reason that they gave the votes to Clinton was because the Clinton Foundation gave the money, which kept the Democratic National Committee from going bankrupt. And that was in Donna Brazile's book, and she was the acting president of the Democratic National Committee. So I kind of think she knows what she's talking about.
Maybe just a thing or two.
Just a little bit.
Now, according to the Washington Post, Democrats are favored to win in the House. We still don't know whether this will lead to hold on Election Day, but we'll have to see if the Democratic Party will be able to overcome the GOP's built-in advantages. Mm-hmm. Right now, the Democrats lead by nearly 10 points on average, so we'll have to see.
Yes.
Why do you think that Trump has gotten away with what seems like way more than any other president would have gotten away with? Seemingly.
Yeah, we're not sure what he's got away with. There are things that, you know, his whole bash on fake news. And there are times where, you know, I would just sit and shake my head. And then one day when I was driving in, I was listening to Kevin and Bean, and Dr. Drew Pinsky came on. And he had been at the White House for this big committee meeting to talk about the problem of opiates in our society, and how doctors have so freely been handing out, you know, OxyContin and such, you know, drugs with opium in it. And Donald Trump just happened to walk through. He wasn't there to speak. He was going from one place to another, you know, shook some hands and said, he says, this is great. I'm glad to see you're working with Vice President Pence and you're working together. He goes, in other countries, they have a simple solution. They shoot the drug dealer. He goes, I think that'd probably work here too. Well, but we'll see. And then he left. Headlines the next day was Donald Trump says we should shoot drug dealers. They didn't even mention the fact that you had 30 doctors there talking about trying to fix the opiate issue. The issue was Donald Trump casually throwing off a one-liner saying, shoot drug dealers. And you just have to, where is, was that the important news? No. And so I see that and I kind of lean back and go, well, then why aren't they reporting what I think would be the real news, that, you know, opiates are killing people? Instead, it's, you know, because it's sensationalized.
Right.
And this is going back 100 years ago to what they called yellow journalism.
I was just about to say that.
You're a good student. That they would sensationalize stories and they would throw out these dramatic headlines.
Right.
Because they needed to sell newspapers. Well, the newspaper industry, first off, is dying. It's every year there are fewer and fewer readers and fewer newspapers. And when I was a youngster, you had CBS, ABC, and NBC. Now you have all of this 24-hour news, and the competition is so stiff and so severe, you have to say something better than the other guy. And also, I think that the news media is still a little sore that they mispredicted who was going to be elected president. You would have assumed that Hillary Clinton had been anointed. It was, and they were talking about how it was. And if you watch Saturday Night Live, it was even more so. And it's funny. I was in one of my colleagues, Professor Chartrand. I was over. He said, "McMillan, come over here." He goes, "I'm looking at this map that shows the breakdown, state by state, of the country." This was less than 2 weeks before the election. And I went, "Wow, this is interesting." And Hillary Clinton had a lead of like 180 electoral college votes. And it was, wow, that's it. Well, what was it like in Obama? So we're changing the date, and we're going all the way back, looking at 4 years, 8 years, 16 years ago, looking at all these different layouts of the map and how they went either red or blue, Republican or Democrat. And then we went back to the current time, and all of a sudden, Hillary Clinton was down to 120 points. She had lost 60 points in 15 minutes. And this is 2 weeks before the election. It's usually carved in stone. And the states that were blue were now a light blue. And states that were light blue were now gray. And some gray states were now pink going to red. And I said, we're 2 weeks away from the election. This thing is still a horse race. It could go either way. And if you look at the map of the United States, what you see is you see a blue curb on the Atlantic, a blue curb on the Pacific, with a lot of red in between. And the news media so seriously misread the tone of the country to have all these states that are going to turn and go Republican, states that they had predicted to be Democratic blue states. So I still think that they're still smarting from that, that they were proved wrong, and they can't stand the idea that they were proved wrong. So then this can't be right. So you're looking for, you know, you're looking for trouble. You know, there's got to be something here that, you know, in fact, a friend of mine who I have coffee with every now and then said, no, there's no way he could have won. He had to have cheated. And I go, well, he could have won. He goes, no, he had to have cheated. That's the only way he could have won. So if you're assuming right off the bat that there's got to be some foul play, then that's all you're looking for. And sometimes if you're looking for trouble, trouble will find you.
Very true. Since the election in November of 2016, Trump's campaign chairman, his deputy campaign manager, his national security advisor, his personal lawyer, and foreign policy aide have all been admitted crimes or have been convicted as a result of special prosecutor Robert Mueller's investigation. Men like Michael Cohen and Paul Manafort pleading guilty to a number of charges.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, do you think if so many people in his inner circle are being outed, do you think that Trump might be guilty of meddling in the election?
Once again, this is where the smoke is. Because most of what you brought out there were things that were not directly involved with the election. They were side stories, something that happened before they were involved. So is it possible? Yes. And this is where, like I said, where there's smoke, there's smoke. Now, there could be some fire under that smoke, but it's just as possible until somebody really gets burnt, it's just still smoke. Some of these, you know, like I said, some it's like people who are upset, and I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to be a defender of Donald Trump by any stretch. I am literally a registered independent. I hate both sides, and I beat up on everybody. And if you take my class, I'm critical of both guys. So, but with that, you know, it's like people who were shocked that Donald Trump may have had an affair with a porn star. Duh. Is there anybody who didn't know what we were getting into with Donald Trump on that level? Four wives, always trading up, he had sex, maybe not, had sex with a porn star. Was he president? Did he do it in the Oval Office? And the answers are no, so I don't care. You know, what you do as president matters to me. Shady business deals, I don't care. I want to know what he's doing while he's in office. And if he isn't doing the job as president, he should be booted. You know, and that's why every 4 years we have elections. It's not a guaranteed job. We give him a lease for 4 years on the White House, and that lease can be revoked. And we have a paper system to do it. So if they can find something that sticks, I'll be one of the first people standing in line to shake sticks.
So speaking of revoked, Robert Mueller's approval rating for handling the Russia investigation stands at 50% in a new CNN poll conducted by SSRS. That outspaces President Donald Trump's approval rating on the matter by 20 points. So that comes down to 30 versus 50. At what point does an administration tip over and fall?
They tip over and fall when they have the election. Because presidents have had horribly low ratings and also had some very high ratings. George Herbert Walker Bush had a rating that was in the 80% after the war, after his the Desert Storm. And then when he goes to run for office, he's down even, you know, he's down in the 30s. Harry Truman was in the 20s, the lowest we ever had. So, you know, they can withstand any storm. You know, that's what's interesting about being the president, because if suddenly we end up having a nuclear agreement with North Korea, and North Korea gets rid of nuclear weapons, and the UN judges it and everything, he'll be Saint Donald. Yeah, he's the first president to actually talk to Korea, to North Korea, in our history, and so that's moving us a step away from nuclear war. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah. So do you think that there's any turning back for Trump's approval ratings, or has he dug himself a hole that's too deep in the public eye?
No, there's no hole too deep. I mean, he can keep digging and end up in North, like I said, he keeps digging until he ends up in North Korea. It just takes a moment. Obama had very low ratings going into the election, and his reelection, and then Storm Sandy showed up, and he looked very presidential during Storm Sandy. And even the governor of New Jersey, the governor of New Jersey said, oh, he's doing a fantastic job. He gets reelected. So all it takes is for one event and pop, their popularity can just shoot right up. I think it would be a harder climb for Trump than any previous president to rise up, because once again, the Electoral College popular vote issue, but also, you know, he has a past on television and so forth. So we have already opinions about him prior to being a politician. So.
Right. How would you like to see the country move forward in the years to come?
This is where I'm kind of funny about. The state of ship steers to the left and steers to the right, but it's always going forward. And so I have total confidence and faith in the men and women who are going to be the leaders of our nation. And I'm that blind optimist, but I truly believe the country is not going to hell in a handbasket.
What do you think the current political climate says about the current state of the nation?
I think we're horribly divided, and I'm very disappointed that it has become so polarized to where you can't have open dialogue. A great example, just this last week with the passing of John McCain. John McCain was one of the last of the old-timers.
Right.
Who, even though he had his beliefs and he was totally convicted, he self-deprecating laughter. He was friends with the other side. They would work together, and now it is because of the money. As soon if you ever watch C-SPAN or something, there's practically nobody in the Capitol building when someone is giving a speech. And the reason why is that they're at the Republican National Committee headquarters or the Democratic National Committee headquarters on the phone fundraising because of the cost of raising money. A late Senator Barry Goldwater from Arizona said the worst thing that happened to politics was the jet airplane. And why? Because now congressmen can get on a plane and fly home, where before they would be on a propeller plane that would be noisy and would take three times as long. So they stayed in Washington, and they'd stay in Washington and play cards or go out to dinner, and they would interact with each other and talk politics. And now they're out there making the money that they need for TV ads.
And last question. Mm-hmm. If you could pick any president in history to take the place of Trump, who would it be?
Oh, boy, you just asked the toughest question of all time. Just to give you to let everybody know how crazy I am, obviously George Washington is right up there. Lincoln would be right up there. But Lincoln, of course, violated the Constitution like mad, but he was great at it. In the 20th century, my favorite presidents are number one, Franklin Roosevelt, and then a tie for number two, Theodore Roosevelt and Ronald Reagan. So I have a liberal Democrat, a progressive Republican, and a conservative Republican. Okay,
so you're well-rounded.
Yes.
And that's going to do it for today, folks. You've been listening to The World as We Know It. Don't forget to tune in next week at 3 to see what current events we will be tackling. Thank you to my guest, Richard McMillan, for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This has been Ariel Zalesi for KPC Radio, signing out.